Have a seat. So good to be with you this morning. I love Sunday mornings. I really do. It is just a joy, truly, to be able to come in here each and every week, be with my church family, and to preach the Word of God. I consider that just seriously one of the highest honors in my life. You know, this week, my kids had some gift cards left over from Christmas. And so they said, we want to take a little trip. We want to go to the store. We want to use these gift cards, right? Because those gift cards are literally burning a hole in their pockets, right? And so they go and they get these drones. And they come back. And the first thing I said is, I actually didn't go. Autumn took them. And they came back. And the first thing I said was, you know, parent of the year, those things are going to break in 5 minutes, right? That was my first initial kind of gut response, my gut reaction, right? Like, you know, good drones cost like $1,000, right? You guys probably spent $30 on these drones. And so it's snowing, right? It was one of the days, you know, it literally could have been any day in the last month that was snowing, and it's snowing outside. I'm like, guys, probably not a good idea to take it outside and be playing with it now. And like, if you've ever been in our neighborhood, there's trees everywhere. I'm like, guys, you're going to get stuck in a tree. Let's just wait. Let's just hold off for a little bit. And maybe sometime later this week, weather gets a little bit nicer, we'll take the drones out to a nice big open field where you tiny little 7, 8, 9-year-olds can fly these things and we won't lose them in 2 seconds. Well, they didn't listen to me because, you know, that's what kids do. And so they took them outside. I'm like, all right, you know, and I kind of let it happen, right? Autumn and I let it happen. They go outside and it wasn't 5 minutes. And one of the drones was stuck in a tree. Right? And that, of course, that is what happened, right? Why? Because I have been around long enough, right? I have been alive long enough to know there are certain things that you should do. There are certain things that are wise, and there are certain things that are not wise. Why? Because of my own experience, right? I know I've done dumb things before. Like, this isn't my first trip around the block, right? And so what did I end up having to do? Even though I let them go out there, I told them not to do it. I said, that's a bad idea, right? I have to go outside, right? Because it's way up in this tree. They can't get it. And I'm out there with a broom for 20 minutes, tossing this broom up and down, right? Till I finally get this drone to fall down. And I pick it up. And fortunately, it's not broken. It still works. Take it in, give it back to them, right? And it very much could have been this, like, I told you so kind of moment, right? But as I was out there tossing that broom up and down for 20 minutes, this thought came into my mind. You know, Justin, adults aren't really a whole lot different most of the time than kids. And a lot of times, here's what happens in our lives, especially for those of us who've read our Bibles, who have a relationship with the Lord, right? God is constantly trying to instruct us. He's trying to pour his wisdom out into us, right? He's trying to get us to be obedient to certain things. And as adults, we're really not any different than kids. A lot of times we don't listen. We're not interested in being obedient. We want to do things our own way, right? And what ends up happening to us as adults is really the same as with kids. We end up with our drone stuck in a tree a lot. I do. Anybody else? Right, where I should have listened. I should have paid attention to what God was saying was wise, was the wise thing to do. And I'm like, nah, I got this. I'm going to do this my own way. See, the fact of the matter is, and this is something that's becoming, I don't know why, but it's like it's becoming more and more uncomfortable to talk about in our world, in our culture. But we have a problem, folks. We have a problem. It's called sin. Every one of us, you, me, we have a sin nature. And the root, I don't know if you've ever thought about this before, but the root of our sin nature is rebellion. That's what it is. It's, I'm going to do this my own way. No, God, your way is not the best way. My way is the best way, right? And if you're like a child, like my children, right, what you think is if I do it my own way, that's going to bring me the greatest amount of pleasure, the greatest amount of joy and satisfaction. We've been in a series for the last couple of weeks that we're calling Happy in the New Year. We're talking about what it looks like to have joy, like lasting joy, deep-rooted joy that cannot be taken away, and then how to actually like keep that here this year. Like that's been my hope and prayer as we've gone through this series for the last 5 weeks. I want you to have joy, and I believe that your Heavenly Father wants you to have joy. The problem is that we seek out joy in all the wrong places. The problem is that we have a sin nature. We have a rebellious nature. And what we try to do is go our own way, do it the way we think it should be done. And we think that is what is going to bring us joy. But the fact of the matter is that we will never, ever experience true, lasting joy when we are living in disobedience to God. And this is so challenging for us, right? Because in my humanness, I'm prideful. I don't like having to do things God's way all the time. I want to do it my way. And yet what I have experienced and what I want so badly to experience more of and for you to experience more of is that in obedience, we find joy. The more we listen to what God commands, what he challenges us to do, how he calls us to live, the more joy we have. And the more we disobey, the more we kind of give into our sin, the more misery that brings in our lives. And so as we close out this series today, last week we talked about trust. To me, trust and obedience, they're like twins. They go hand in hand. We talked about how trust brings joy. When we have confidence in the Lord, there's a joy that comes from that. But the twin of that is obedience, right? Trust should lead to obedience. If I really trust in who God says he is, then I should want to be obedient to him, and I should believe that my obedience to him is actually going to be the thing that brings me joy and not living for myself. And so I want to answer two questions today. Does obedience to God matter? And I think that's a question that we really do need to unpack. I think if you've been a Christian for a long time, maybe you kind of intuitively know, of course, obedience to God matters. But there's a huge world out there that I don't know understands that or believes that. I really believe that maybe the number one reason that people don't want to follow God, that they're like, nah, I'm not into this whole God thing, right, is because they don't believe that obedience to him really matters, that it actually has consequences for our lives, right? Why? Why don't people want to follow God? Why don't they want to be obedient to God? Because it feels like oppression. That's why, right? It feels like all of my rights, all of my liberties are being taken away if I have to listen to this God that I'm not even sure is even out there, right? The fact of the matter is, it's actually the opposite of that. And I want to talk about that a little bit today. That obedience actually brings freedom, and freedom brings joy. So that's question number one. Does obedience even matter to God? And then secondly, I think this question has to go along with it. Why should I obey God? I mean, what has he done for me lately? Right? There's a lot of people who just are like, I don't want to obey this God. Right, I got all these horrible things that are going on in my life. I look around the world, I see all this trauma and tragedy. I mean, is he really even somebody that I can trust and somebody that I want to obey? Why should I obey him? I think when we understand the answer to those two questions, it changes the way we live. So we're going to be in a passage of scripture today. We're going to be starting in Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look at this concept of obedience. We're going to talk about how it actually brings so much joy to our lives to actually be obedient to God. Now, I want to give some setup for this passage that we're going to read here this morning. Jesus has just been delivering his most famous sermon. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. It starts in Matthew chapter 5, rolls all the way through Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. And during this sermon, Jesus lays out all of these challenges, really, these commands for how we are supposed to live. If we are going to follow Jesus, here's the things that you need to do if you want to be my follower. I think it's important to know, and we'll come back to this later. What Jesus is not saying is if you obey these things, that's what makes you saved. Really important distinction to start with. What saves us is the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is that Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins so that we can have eternity in heaven. And it is not by anything that we have done or will ever do. We can't earn it on our own. But there is a response that should come out of an acceptance of that, right? When we really internalize the gospel, it should lead us to want to be obedient. And so Jesus lays out all these different things. He talks about everything from love and prayer to, I mean, just a whole litany of things. And then he closes the Sermon on the Mount with what we're about to read. And this is vitally important for us today. He says, therefore, that is an important word. Let's just stop right there. Therefore, whenever you see the word therefore in Scripture, it is a connecting word. It is connecting what he just said to what he is about to say, right? So he's just gotten done giving this whole list of things that we're supposed to be obedient to, right? Here's all the things. And then he says this, therefore, because of all that, knowing all of that, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But whoever hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So Jesus gives all of these commands, and then he says this. It's great to have the knowledge, right? It's great to know all of the things that you're supposed to do. But if you don't actually do them, if it's all just knowledge and there's no action, there's no striving to actually be obedient to those things, you're a fool. That's what he says. He's pretty direct with this. And he uses this illustration, right? This illustration of a rock and a house and sand and a house. And if you build your house on the rock versus building your house on the sand, what he says is building your house on the rock is being obedient to the word. It's that simple. If you want to build your house on the rock, if you want to obey the word, then what's going to happen? When the storms of life come, when the wind blows and the rain begins to beat against your house, guess what happens? Your house stands firm. Your joy can't be taken away from you, right? Nothing can shake you off of that foundation, the word of God. But he says there's an alternative to that. Some people are gonna do that. Some people are gonna hear the word, they're gonna hear the knowledge, they're gonna hear the commands, and then they're gonna actually put it into practice. And they are gonna be rewarded for that. There's gonna be a blessing that comes from that. Some people are gonna hear it, and they're gonna build their house on sand. I don't know if you've ever walked on sand before. I'm sure most of you have, right? But have you ever stood on sand near the edge of the beach and had the ocean come washing in and begin to wash over your feet? What happens? You start sinking, right? The sand begins to flow away from where you're standing. If you stood there long enough, the crazy thing is, I mean, I've stood there for 10, 15, 20 minutes at a time. Right? By the time you stand there for that long, what happens? That sand's up to your knees, right? If you continue to stand there, eventually that whole thing would just take over you. When we build our house on the sand, this is what Jesus is saying. You build your house on the sand, it is like someone who hears the word, has all that knowledge, has all the information that they need to live a joy-filled life, to live a life of productivity and purpose, and who will ultimately one day receive the kingdom of God. You have all that knowledge, and yet you're not putting it into practice. You're not being obedient to it. To know the word and not obey it, this is Jesus, what he's saying here, is foolishness. It's foolishness. And what we need to understand is this, is Jesus is not just this, you know, narcissistic, harsh father figure, parent who just wants you to obey. He loves us. There's a reason that he calls us to obedience. And whether we understand it or not, it is for our joy. God is for our joy. I love how James puts this. James 1, 22 to 25. He says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. He says, do what it says. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So James uses a different illustration. He talks about a mirror, looking at yourself in a mirror. Right, when you look at yourself in a mirror, you are getting an exact reflection of yourself. You're seeing yourself with all of its glory and imperfections. What he says is, if you walk away from that mirror and forget immediately what you look like, that's foolishness, right? You just looked at yourself in the mirror. How could you possibly forget what you look like 2 seconds later? In the same way, this is what he says. How can you hear the wisdom of God? How can you hear the way that he wants you to live and then walk away and not do it and just forget about it within moments of actually hearing it? That's essentially what he's saying. He's saying that is foolishness. You are a fool if you do that. But I love this. He says, whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. We've talked about that word blessed over the last 5 weeks. It means happy. They will be happy. They will have joy in what they do. How will we have that? By looking into the perfect law that gives what? Freedom and continuing in it. The perfect law that brings freedom is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's knowing that we have been saved and set free, that we are no longer bound by our sin, and that we don't have to do anything for it. He gives that to us as a free gift. And when we have that understanding, when we understand that, it changes the way that we look at being obedient to God, or at least it should, right? Wisdom is experiencing the freedom of the gospel and then continuing to be obedient in it. And I love that word, continuing, right? It says, and continues in it. It's not a one-time deal. It's not just, okay, I'm just going to be obedient in this one thing. No, it's a continual obedience. And as we continue in obedience, God continues to increase our joy. And so here's what I want you to hear from this first kind of section, and we're going to move into something else. The bottom line is that Jesus commands us to be obedient. He calls us to an obedient life, a life of continual obedience. And so the answer to the question, does obedience matter? Yes, it absolutely matters. Does it save you? No. Is it essential? Is it important for us? Yes. And that's where I want to move to next. Okay, why? All right, Jesus says don't build your house on the sand. It's going to come crumbling down if you do. Build your house on the rock. Build your house on something firm. Obey the word. Why? Why? Why in the world should I do that? Why does Jesus call us to a life of obedience? Well, number one is for his glory. It's for his glory. I want to read you a passage of scripture from Romans 12, 1. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. We are obedient to God because of the mercy that he has shown to us. In view of God's mercy, he says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Do you know what that means? To offer our bodies as a living sacrifice means to be obedient in everything that we do with our whole being. And what he says is that this is actually worship. See, I think we get all wrapped around the axle, especially in modern, you know, kind of church culture. And we think that worship is coming into a place like this on Sunday morning and singing some songs and listening to a message, right, and being at church. Not saying that that's not part of worship. Absolutely. Why? Because
in obedience, God has called us to gather as the church, as the body of Christ. He has called us to sing praises to him. But that is an act of obedience. See, what God is really after in our lives, once he brings us to salvation, is he just simply wants us to be obedient to him, to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. This is your pure and spiritual act of worship. That's what God is after. Our heart, our obedience to him. Come on, if you're a parent, this is just where I'm at right now, all right? If you're not a parent, maybe just think in terms of when you were a kid and how you interacted with your parents. But this is where I'm at. How do I know that my children really respect and honor and love me? When do I feel that the most? It's when they're being obedient. It's when I've asked them to do something and they actually do it. And they do it with a smile on their face and they're happy to do it. Right? That's how I know. Right, in the exact same way, we are to honor, we are to bring glory to God through how we worship, right? Through our worship, and that is through obedience. There's a quote, I can't remember exactly who said it, or you know, I'm kind of paraphrasing a little bit, but it basically says, we are most satisfied in God when God is being glorified. When we are glorifying him, that is when we are actually most satisfied. When we are worshiping him, that is when we will actually have the greatest amount of joy. Why is that? Because that is what we were created for. That's what we were created for. Whether we realize that or not, that's why you exist. You exist to bring glory to God. And so outside of that, you're not going to experience joy. In that, though, you can experience exponential joy. Obedience is worship. It is for his glory. That's why Jesus calls us to obedience. It puts his glory on display. As we, the body of Christ, those of us who are Christians, who call ourselves Jesus followers, as we are obedient to him, do you know what that shows the world? It shows them God. It puts his glory on display. And as we do that, it brings joy. So number one, it is for his glory. That's why, first, above everything else, we are to be obedient. And that will bring you joy. But second of all, it is for our assurance. Let me say that again. It is for our assurance. Why should we be obedient to God? Let's read another passage of scripture. 1 John 2, 3 through 6. It says, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in him. This is how we know that we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. It says, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Now, I think when we are obedient, it absolutely tells God that we are serious about him, right? It tells him that we really, truly have had a change inside of our hearts. But let's be real. God is God. God knows what's going on inside of our hearts, right? He doesn't need to be assured of anything. He knows everything. Who needs to be assured of whether or not this whole thing with Jesus is real or not? Anybody else ever have any doubts? Come on, am I the only one? Like as I've gone through my life, right? Come on, doubt is a part of this thing sometimes. What assures me though? What assures me that it's real? That this whole Jesus thing isn't just something I talk about, isn't just something I prayed a prayer a long time ago and we don't have to question whether or not it's real if we are being obedient. What does John say? We know that we have come to know him if we what? If we keep his commandments. Obedience is the proof of our genuine love for Christ. It's the proof of it. It proves it to God, but more importantly, it proves it to ourselves. Again, I want to say this. I know I've already said it once, but I want to make sure I'm really clear. Obedience does not save us. Our obedience does not save us. What it does is it shows, it is the proof that we are actually saved. It increases our assurance. Right? It's for our assurance. Obedience is for our assurance. It says, I really believe this thing. Because if I didn't really believe it, why would I do this? Why would I follow God? Why would I be obedient? It's because I really do actually believe this whole thing. There is no greater joy, church. No greater joy than knowing, and I mean really, truly knowing that you are saved. There is so much freedom in that. In being able to go through life with all of my imperfections and every time I screw up and don't get it right, and to not be constantly worrying about, you know, God, is God gonna kick me out of the club now? No, when we are living it actively in obedience, right? We know we're going to sin. We're sinners. We know we're going to mess up. But when we're actively living in obedience, striving from one moment to the next to try to honor him and do what he commands us to do, there's an assurance that comes with that and a joy that comes with that. And then finally, it is for our complete joy. It's for our complete joy. That's why Jesus has called us to obedience, because he wants joy for us. I love this from John 15:10-11. He says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. I love this word, keep. If you keep my commands. Keep means ongoing obedience. It is a lifestyle of obedience. And joy, what John is saying here is joy comes from continuing in obedience to our Heavenly Father. When we remain in his commands, we remain in his love. Stay in God's love and favor, right? How do we do that? How do we stay in God's love and favor? Through obedience. And he tells us, this is for our joy. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. We talked about this a little bit last week, right? When we talked about trust. I believe God wants a complete joy for us. I want complete joy. I believe you want complete joy. How do we find that? How do we discover that? Through obedience to him. Why? Because obedience connects us to him. It connects us to our Heavenly Father. And as we are obedient to him, this is so important, church. We think that if we're obedient to God, and there are many people in the world who believe this and think this, if we're obedient to God, I'm going to have all my freedoms taken away. Life is going to be boring. I'm not going to be able to have any more fun. I'm not going to be able to do any of the fun things I like to do before. It's going to burden me. That's what's going to happen if I'm obedient. Check this out, though. 1 John 5:3. It says, in fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. His commands are not burdensome. They are not meant to burden us. His commands, his standards, they're not meant to burden us. They're meant to free us. They're meant to release us. This kind of obedience, when we understand that we are obedient out of a love and a joy for Christ and what he has done for us, there is so much freedom in this, church. Come on, don't miss this today. Number one, it's better relationship with God. It's a better relationship with God. Again, I'll give you the parent illustration because this is where I am right now. When my children are not listening to me, it is chaos in our home. It is frustrating. It is maddening. It drives you insane. There's no peace. There's no joy. It's the complete opposite of that, right? Why? Is it simply because they're not doing the thing that I'm asking them to do? No. It's because the relationship between myself and my children is being broken in that moment. There's a chasm being formed through that disobedience. We're not close right now because you're doing things that are driving a wedge. You're not listening to me. I'm trying to do this for your own good. I'm disciplining my children. I'm trying to put rules in place for their own good. And they're not listening. It's the same thing with God. God puts every rule, every law, every command that he has given us, he has put it in place for your good, for my good, for our joy. And when we aren't obedient to it, it drives a wedge in between us and God. Obedience brings closeness and connectedness with our Heavenly Father. Not only that, it brings the fullness of God's blessing. This is what Jesus said in Luke 11:28. He said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." We are blessed when we obey the word of God. Why? All right, think about it. Let's just put it in practical terms. Sin destroys. Sinful, destructive decision-making, it leads to a life of misery. And the deeper we get into it, you know, the deeper we get into a sin, the more it begins to destroy. It messes up us. It messes up the people around us. It messes up our relationship with God, right? And ultimately, we lose the blessing of God in that. But when we are obedient, do you know what it does? No, it does not make our lives perfect. No, there will still be really difficult things to go through. But obedience, following his wisdom, following the word of God, keeps us from making destructive, sinful decisions that will eventually lead us down a very dark path. And I think we all know, we've all been there, right? We've all continued habitually in some sin, and then we look back and we're like, wow, I am deep into this. And if I would have just listened, I wouldn't be in this situation right now. And the flip side of that, I mean, I can't even tell you that there are certain things in my life where I was living one way, and then all of a sudden I finally got it. God finally, the voice that was speaking over and over and over again, that parent to child, it finally clicked, and I finally began to live the way that he was calling me to live in some areas. And now I look back on it and I'm like, why didn't I do that earlier? Why? Because now I have this freedom. I have this joy. I'm being blessed over and over and over again. There's a deep satisfaction in knowing that we are pleasing our Heavenly Father and the blessing that he pours out on us through that. And so, church, I feel like it's been a tough message. And I prayed a lot about this week because this is not an easy one to hear, is it? We don't like being told that we're sinful. Right? That's not a popular message. We don't like being told that we might be living in some ways that are being disobedient to God. And yet I think we have to talk about this. Why? Because until we do, until we come to a place where we're like, no, you know what, God, I want to be obedient to you, nothing will change. We'll continue to live in the same habitual patterns of sin. We will continue to miss out on the blessing that God has for us when we are obedient. And as your pastor, I do not want that for you. I don't. And so we're going to call it out here. We're going to call it out. We're going to rest in the gospel and knowing that that's not what saves us. But at the end of the day, you better believe God is calling us to a life of obedience. And it is for our joy. And so here is the message today, church. If you want joy, be obedient. If you really want joy in your life, you want that overflowing type of joy that never goes away, be obedient. Be obedient. Now, what you might be asking is, okay, what does that mean? Like, where do I even start? How do I do that, right? There's a passage of scripture in Romans where Paul talks about how he does the things that he doesn't want to do. And over again, it's like, I know I'm not supposed to do that, but yet I keep kind of falling into the same trap, right? And maybe you have found yourself in that as well. I think it's really simple, guys. We need to read the instruction manual. We need to read our instruction manual all the time, regularly. How do we know what's right or wrong in this world? I've had several conversations over the last month that have really honestly been eye-opening to me. I've had some conversations with some people about some very culturally relevant issues, if you will. And they believe certain things about these cultural issues, and it's contrary to what Scripture says. And before the end of those conversations, this has happened to me multiple times now. These people have said, I don't really read the Bible. I've never actually really read the Bible before. I don't really know what it says about these issues, but here's what I've come to believe. And I think this is going on not just in the world, but with Christians all over the place. How can we know what we're supposed to be obedient to if we've never actually read the book that gives us the commands and the ways that we're supposed to live? Right? It's like you're taking your information from the wrong source. And there are so many people that are doing that. They've come to ideas, they have ideologies, biases, preconceptions about whatever. It could be a whole host of issues, and they've never even picked up the Bible. They've never read it. They don't know what, they have no idea what God says about it. Even for those of us who are Christians, I don't think we get in the Word enough. And as we get in the Word, here's what happens. We read over and over again how God wants us to live. Then it begins to take root. It begins to infiltrate our heart and our spirit, and we begin to actually live that out. But if we're not doing that, it becomes really, really difficult. We have to read the instruction manual. Guys, we started the year with a Bible reading plan as a church. This is one of the reasons why. Right? We have to know the Word. And as we know the Word and as we become more obedient to it, God will fill us up with His joy. So that's number one. Read the instruction manual. Just start getting into it. Maybe today you're here, you're not sure about this whole Jesus thing. Maybe you've heard some things from the world around you about who Jesus is and what this whole Christianity thing's all about. And there's only one way to know for sure. It is by studying His Word. Studying His Word. And I think what you'll find, what you'll discover, if you believe in Christ, the whole Bible, the entire thing from start to finish is actually about Him. And so start with that. Start with Jesus. If you believe in Christ, you believe in what He's done for you on the cross, this is important. Then that means the whole rest of the Bible. If Jesus really did predict His own death and resurrection and then actually made it happen, 500 eyewitnesses saw this. 2,000 years later, we're still talking about this guy who was, for all intents and purposes in the time, nothing. He wasn't a king of high stature. He was a low-level, blue-collar carpenter. We're still talking about him 2,000 years later. I believe in the whole of Scripture because I believe in Christ. Start with that. And if that's true, and the whole rest of Scripture all is pointing towards Christ, it's all about Christ, then the whole rest of the Scripture has to be true too. And I think that is, again, so important for us to know today. That the Bible is not just some ancient document, just some ancient history book. It is the very Word of God. It is the whole truth, the only truth that we have, the only thing that we can tether ourselves to, because everything else, it's just, we're going to get blown like the wind if we don't have that truth source to go to, if we don't believe in what it says. And so I implore you today, church, make that the thing that you go to understand who God is, Don't let anybody else in this world tell you. That's it right there. And then secondly, we need to ask a question. Where in my life am I habitually living in disobedience? That's a really, really hard question to ask. It's one that makes us, you know, it's a gut check question. But I think it's one for me I need to ask regularly. And I think that word habitual is so important here. Because some of you might be sitting here and you're probably thinking like, dang, bro, you're beating us up today. That is not my intent. Please hear me when I say this. We are going to mess up. We're going to sin. But there's a difference between, okay, I messed up. I done messed up, but I don't want to do that anymore. And I'm going to try really hard moving forward to be obedient to my God because I love him and I'm so thankful for his grace in my life. There's a difference between that and a habitual sin where you're just saying, you know what? Forget it. I'm just going to live in this. I'm just going to do this thing. And yeah, you know what? When I get to the end of my life, here's what I'm going to trust, that Jesus is going to save me. That's different. That's so different, right? Think about the heart posture of that, right? One is like, I'm repentant. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to live that way. The other one is like, I'm going to do whatever I want, regardless of what God's word says, right? Those are the ones that I'm talking about. Right, where are those areas where you've just decided, I'm not going to listen. I'm going to do what I want. I'm not going to be obedient to the Lord. And here's what you need to hear today. Whatever those things are, or whatever that one thing might be in your life, hear me. Your joy is being stolen in whatever that thing is. Wherever we are living in habitual sin, it will kill joy. It will kill it. Because you cannot live in joy and be completely just outside of God's will and doing your own thing. You can't. It's not possible. The good news today is that it doesn't have to be that way. We can turn from that thing. We can begin to ask God to help us, work through whatever that thing is. And so I want to give you a couple here. And boy, I could go through 50 different things here, but these are just some of the ones that I think a lot of people struggle with. Some commands that we love to make excuses for. And maybe these are ones that you've been struggling with. We love to make excuses for this one. Love your enemies, Jesus says. And forgive your enemies. Come on, church. How many of us have some enemies right now? And we know deep down inside, we don't love them. We don't want to forgive them. Right, that's the command of our Lord and Savior. Love your enemies. And what we don't realize is as we are holding and harboring bitterness towards them, you know what's actually going on inside of you? Your joy is being sucked out of you every moment that you hold on to that bitterness. Let's not do that, church. Let's turn from that. Let's begin to walk in obedience. Let's love our enemies. Let's forgive them no matter what. How about this one? Jesus calls us to be bold in sharing the gospel. Matthew 28, go into all the world and share the good news of the gospel, teaching them to obey me and to follow all of my commands. This is a hard one, right? We don't want to follow the Great Commission most of the time, right? We're consumed with what we got going on. It's hard. It's really awkward and difficult to tell somebody about Jesus, so we just don't do it. We just ignore it, right? That's a command. That's the command of our Lord and Savior. How about this one? Sexual purity. Come on, church. I mean, sexual impurity is rampant in our culture. There are so many people that are addicted to, you know, one form or another. Whether it's pornography, it's just sleeping around, it's people having affairs, it's so easy to make excuses for that. So easy. We can't. We have to call that out for what it is and begin to try to walk in obedience to who God calls us to be in that. Finally, how about generosity? Boy, in America, I feel like we're all guilty of this in one form or another. We're so guilty of this. You know what Jesus calls us to? He calls us to a lifestyle of generosity. He calls us to take care of people who are poor. people who don't have a lot. He calls us to use our resources to make an impact on the world around us. And it's so easy. Like, we have so much in this country, it's so easy to just be like, eh, that's not me, though. I'm not rich. I don't have a lot. That's somebody else. Somebody else will be generous. And I could go on and on, guys. Whatever it is. And again, I'm not here to beat you up today. Because the last thing that I want to say is this. Whatever it is, this is what I'm so thankful for today. And honestly, if you hear nothing else today, I hope you hear this. We have a God who loved us so much that he was willing to be obedient unto death, Jesus Christ, so that we could be set free from our sin, from all of those things that we just can't seem to get right, and so that we could have eternity in heaven with him. And that is what saves us. That will always be what saves us. But out of that, church, you want joy? True, lasting joy? Be obedient. Be obedient because of what Christ did for you. Be obedient because he's worthy of it. Be obedient because in him, as we follow him with everything that we've got, he will fill us with all the things that we really want. And that's my prayer for us, church. As we close out this series, as we get ready to walk out of here today, I'm for your joy. God is for your joy. He is. And so I want to close today with one last verse. Church, this is really for you. Because honestly, if you don't know Christ, the first step of obedience is to just put your faith in him. And we would love to have a conversation with you about that today. But church, this verse honestly has been wrecking me all week long as I've thought about my own sin and some areas in my life where I know I have been disobedient and haven't been walking with him. This is what it says in John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commands. If you love me, keep my commands. And I do. I do. I love my Lord and my Savior, and I'm so thankful for what he's done for me. If you love him, then keep his commands. Be obedient to him. Amen, church? Amen.